Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was thinking this week about the great women in history and how they have paved the way for us to be able to be who we are today. And I was in particular thinking about the great women of the Bible, not just the mothers of the Bible, but the great women of the Bible. And I was realizing that God used women behind the scenes so many times, but he also used them in the forefront to change the world and influence who we are. Now, one we have to realize as we look at the women of the Bible, there are way less than there are of men, but it seems like they could be categorized into two categories. It seems like some are the bad girls of the Bible, as we have recently categorized them in church writings, and some are heroes of the Bible. But no matter which of those categories they're in, our story would not be the same without each and every one of them. And we think all the way back to the beginning, we would not be who we are without Eve. And if you'll let me think out of the box for a moment about Eve, this is where my brain went this week. And I was thinking about Eve, and I was thinking, you know, we think of her as the first woman, and we think about her as the first one that sinned, and these are the things we tend to focus on. But then I was realizing, wait a second, Eve was a woman so far ahead of her time, okay? If we think back into the very beginnings of history, who was in charge? But the man was in charge, right? The man made the decisions, okay? But here we have Eve, and Adam is the one that has received the word from God that you cannot eat of the forbidden fruit. And I'm sure he has shared this information with Eve, and with Eve is tempted by the serpent to eat of that fruit. It's not, I need to go find out what Adam thinks. I need to let Adam make this decision. But Eve felt empowered enough to be able to make that decision. So I call her the first feminist right there. That she made that decision and she was going to do what she felt was right. Now, of course, we have to think about that Eve did eventually have to own that mistake. And she had to bear the consequences of that mistake. But here we had a woman who was strong enough to make a decision for herself and then own those consequences. As we keep going through history, as we get beyond Eve, we think about Ruth. And Ruth, we think about the loyalty, but let's first think about the loss that Ruth suffered. So many of us can relate with that, losing somebody significant to us. And here Ruth was kind of at that place of, what do you do in the next chapter after you've lost somebody? How is it that you move on in life? And Ruth could have gone back to her family, could have had her family take care of her, but Ruth follows God by following Naomi. And she goes with her, and in that obedience, in that loyalty, in that trust of God's plan, what does the next chapter of her life become but bearing the son that begins the lineage of David? To think we would not have David, and without David, we would not have Jesus if it wasn't for that bold move of Ruth to be proactive with faith, trust, and loyalty to start the next chapter of her life in a very unknown foreign place. If we think beyond Ruth, we think of Esther. We think about the queen. And here she was, just a humble, everyday young woman who God called to do an incredible task. No other task than to save all of the Jewish population. That's not a small job for a young woman. But Esther, despite her hesitations and her doubts, with faith and courage and bravery, stands up and is able to save her people. She does it with a well-thought-out plan. She does it with enough courage to speak to the king despite knowing it could cost her life. Lives were saved because a young woman had courage and faith. To think about Hannah. Here's Hannah, and all Hannah wanted in life was to be a mother. Hannah just wanted to have a child. And we'll be honest, she really wanted to have a son. And she prayed to God, and she prayed to God, and she didn't cease to let God know what she wanted. But she desired it enough, and she had enough faith and trust in God that she said, "If you give me the one and only thing I want in life, I will give him back to you." Could you imagine that? If you have that one thing you want more than anything in life, and the deal you make with God is, "God, if you give me that, then I will surrender it back to you." That's some incredible faith that Hannah had. And God followed through with that promise. And she bore a son. And he became an incredible priest for God. We continue in the story and we think about other women. And we think about Deborah, who was the strongest female leader in all of the Old Testament, that led with faith and compassion and justice. We think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was willing to take on potential scorn and shame and alienation to accept God's call to be the mother of his son. We think about the woman at the well who had so many black marks on her record. But when she was confronted by Jesus, when she encountered him at the well, she was able to look at her life face on. And when she walked away from that well, walked away a changed woman. And instead of walking away with her head down in shame for who she had been, she walked away with her head up with the good news of Jesus Christ and became one of his first evangelists. All through the scripture text, we have these incredible women that show us how it is that we can not only be great human beings, but great Christians in this world with faith, with loyalty, with trust, with compassion, with courage. These traits that we seek to live by each and every day. One of those women that I look up to, and yes, I have preached entire sermons on her because I just think she's incredible, but her name is Susanna Wesley. And Susanna Wesley is the mother of John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist Church. John Wesley's dad was the name Reverend Samuel Wesley, and he was an Anglican minister in England. And his wife, Susanna, was an incredible woman. And one of the great things that she showed was patience. And she must have had gallons of it because Susanna had no less than 12 children. Okay? Imagine what patience that must take. Well, the story's told that one day Samuel came to her and he said, "I marvel at your patience. You have told that child the same thing 20 times, okay? Have you ever been there, whether it's telling a child that, or whether it's telling an employee that, or whether it's telling a sibling that, or whether or not it's just doing the same thing 20 times over? Well, how did Susanna respond to Samuel? But she said, "Had I spoken the matter only 19 times, I would have lost all my labor." You see, it's not just about patience, but it's about sticking through the commitment that you have. It takes faith to believe that on the 20th time, it might make a difference when the first 19 times didn't. And this leads me into thinking about Sarah from our text today. Sarah, such an incredible woman. A woman that through her husband Abraham was chosen by God to be the mother of all nations. And God made that promise, you will have a child. And Sarah says, oh, right, I'm ready. And God says, wait. And she says, I'm ready. And God says, wait. And finally, she thinks, I'm done waiting. I think God thinks I need to do something. Abraham, here's my slave. Have a child for me through her. And God says, that's not the way, right? God said, I didn't ask you to act. I asked you to wait. And so Sarah has to wait even more. Eventually, Sarah is laughing at God, believing that she is beyond child-rearing age. Now, why does she laugh? She laughs because she hesitates in her faith to believe that God can fulfill the promise that he has made. But here Sarah comes. If you haven't heard this, Sarah makes it to 90 years old. We have at least one lady here that's 90 years old, okay? Now imagine if I was God and I chose one of those 90 or 90 plus women in this congregation and I said, guess what? God's told me you're gonna have a baby. Anybody think one of those ladies would be excited to hear that news? At one point you say, it's beyond that time. It's just not gonna happen. And Sarah thinks she's at that point. But God says, now it's time. And why did it happen? Because Sarah had patience and faithfulness, and God blessed her. But how is it that God blessed her? Three very important phrases in our text this morning. God did as he said. God did what he promised. But here's the most important. God did it at the very time God had promised. That's where the patience comes in. For us as human beings, waiting for God's time does not always come easy. So often our prayer is similar to, dear God, I want patience and I need it right now. It makes me think of trying to train my dogs. I want to bless them with a treat. I got the treat in my hand and I tell them, all you have to do is sit, okay? Such a simple command, just sit. And they try jumping. And they try spinning in circles, and they try pawing at me. They try everything in the world. And all I want to do is give them that treat. All I want to do is bless them with that they want and to be able to tell them, good job, I'm so proud of you. I want to love them in that way. But all I need is for them to have that simple obedience of sitting and waiting for me to put it in their mouth. But they struggle so often with that. Of course, it also makes me think of Jackson. I hope Jackson's okay if I bring him up. But I think about when Mimi's got a treat, and she said, oftentimes as you're trying to tell Jackson what he needs, and Jackson, let's see if I can get it. Jackson can sit, and Jackson can shake, and Jackson can speak. Did I get them all, or is there more than that? Oh, and high five. Yes, Jackson can also high five, of course. So sit, shake, speak, and high five. And she'll say, sometimes Jackson will just do all of it thinking one of those things is what you want, so I will do it all, and hopefully I will get my treat. But that's so often, sorry to compare us to dogs, but I love dogs, so I will use it. But so often, that's us. We're either the ones that are just struggling with the obedience and struggling with the patience because we're so frenzied in what we need that we just can't wait. We just don't feel like we have the time to wait for God to fulfill his promise. Or we just struggle with that obedience. Like Sarah, who thinks she needs to intercede. But God doesn't need us to help him with the plan. God doesn't need us to help him fulfill that promise to us. God needs us to be obedient and patient. Of course, it's sometimes there's those that are like Jackson. And we think, well, if we want what we want from God, then we're just going to do everything. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my scripture and I'm going to be on my knees and I'm just going to throw everything at God. And then maybe it will happen sooner. Where God's saying, I don't need you to do anything. Just sit and patiently wait. Because what does God desire? God desires to bless us. God desires to fulfill his promise of life to us. God desires to love us. God desires to give us all of his compassion and all of his grace. But God wants to do it his way, how he's promised, and in his time. So how is it that we look, instead of being impatient and lacking faith in God, how is it that we yield to God's will and wait for his good and perfect plan to unfold? Even if it feels like we're waiting forever, even if it seems like God has given up on us, even if it seems like we're laughing in the face of life because we're not going to get what we want. But there's God in his time and in his way, desiring to bless us and care for us. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the incredible women in our history, the women who fill the pages of the Bible with faith and loyalty, love and compassion. The women in history who have fought for our ability to work and vote. For the women who have raised us. For the women who have loved us. For the women who have held us on difficult days. On the women who have covered our wounds with band-aids and kisses. We give you thanks for the strong examples of how it is that we are to live this life. And we thank you for all of the ways that you have blessed them. We ask that by your Holy Spirit, that you will help us to live their example, that you will help us to be faithful, yielding our lives to your will, and patiently waiting for your plan to unfold. May we surrender all, and may you bless us each and every day. For you are our God, and we are your children. And so this we pray in your name. Amen.